God give you grace to speak and us to hear.
Well, it's really, really a blessing for Shirley and I to be here. Been treated so good, as we always are up here. Well, we turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Be still and know that I am God. It's a wonderful. There are several folks here that I've never seen here before over the years. And of course, it's been a while since I've been up here, but it's wonderful to see new people and meet new people. Such a blessing. I know it's encouraging to you. But here in 2 Thessalonians 2, I'm going to start reading in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, my subject this morning, or my title of my message, is Four Great Themes. Four Great Themes. And when you can't open the Bible, you really can't, and not be confronted with the truth of God's electing grace. You just can't do it, if you're honest. If you're honest with God's Word, when you got to be confronted with it. And up here in verse 11... it talked about those that God sent a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, that's one thing I don't want to do. I don't want to believe a lie. I have believed a lie, and I've told lies. But since God saved me by His grace, I certainly wouldn't want to lie on God. Wouldn't want to lie to myself. And I certainly wouldn't want to lie to the people that I'm preaching to. But this word of election, and that's what I wanted, that's going to be my first thing, is this business of election. God, the Bible, teaches us very clearly that God chose, there's a chosen people, elect people, predestinated people. And all of these are Bible words. And God, in His sovereign mercy, has been pleased to teach some of us these words. And not only teaches to us, but what teaches what they actually mean. You know, I know what they mean. Some people, when they preach election, they say that God looked down through time and He seen how somebody was going to react, those who would believe and those who wouldn't. So then He chose those who would believe and passed by those who wouldn't. Well, He don't get no glory out of that. That still leaves it salvation to the hands of men, don't it? Still leaves it where it don't belong. But, oh, these are Bible words. And I tell you, I love Bible words. I love the words from the Scripture. And I want you to start here with me in verse 3. Four great themes that I'm going to go through down through here. And the first one is this. And there in chapter, verse 13. It says, God hath from the beginning chosen you. God hath chosen you. Now, I'm not ashamed. Not ashamed of election. I'm not ashamed of God. I'm not ashamed of what God says about Himself. I'm not embarrassed, not afraid to tell people that God hath chosen. God did it. I didn't choose Him. He chose me. If it had been left up to me, I'd have never chosen Him. No way in the end of the world. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm thankful for it. I bless God for it. Now, there's four things I want to give us about election. The first one is that it's true. Election is true. God has chosen you. Our Lord Jesus said in John 15:16, "Know you not that you've chosen me, but I have chosen you. I've ordained you." And our Lord Jesus Christ, he says this. He said, there's many false Christs, many false prophets that's gone out into the world. And if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. But he said, it's not possible. It's not possible. And our Lord Jesus says, the elect, they cry unto me day and night, and shall I not avenge them? And our Lord himself, while you turn with me to John 6:37, our Lord himself said that he, God gave him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as God had given him. Now I tell you what, it's true. Election's a true thing, a blessed thing, a glorious thing. And it's not just an elect of choosing a nation, it's choosing people. Look what he said here in John 6:37, talking about election is true. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's what encouragement when we get up and preach. What an encouragement when you witness to somebody. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Well, now, wait a minute. What if they do like Noah? What if they do like Simon Peter and deny the Lord? What if they do like the Apostle Paul before he's converted? What if they do like David? And I'm telling you, beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, I will in no wise cast them out. I sin enough in my mind to damn the whole human race. And if God was going to cast anybody out, he'd have cast me out years ago. There's nothing you can say, nothing you can do, no sin. And I'm telling you, I don't mean to offend anybody. There's not a sin you can commit that will cause Christ to say, I'll not have anything else to do with you. I remember a man told her, his wife one time said, I'm going to go up there to the church and let them folks just know what an awful sinner you are. I said, you think we don't already know that? You see, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, my. He said, there's nothing that you'll ever do to make me turn my back on you and leave you to yourself. I won't do it. And then he goes on to say this, I come down from heaven. Not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And bless his name. This is the Father's will which hath sent me. Of all that he hath given me, I'm not going to lose one of them. And not only am I not going to lose them, but I'm going to raise them up again if they go to the grave. Oh, so okay. That's the first thing is true. Back over in our text. The second thing about election is that it's eternal. Ain't that what he says? God hath from the beginning chosen you. It's eternal. I was one of God's elect from the foundation of the world. I didn't know it till God told me. That's what's the one about the gospel. You don't know you're one of God's elect until somebody tells you. And that, you know, you believe the Bible and you go on, you have your rejoice, and somebody comes along and tells you about God choosing his people in Christ before the foundation of the world. That our Lord Jesus Christ, there never was a time that he didn't love us. Never was a time that he didn't know us. Never was a time that we wasn't one of his children. Now, I'll tell you this, I do know this about election, that we're chosen in Christ. But election is eternal. We didn't become one of God's elect when we believed. We believed because we was one of God's elect. Huh? It said in Romans 8:30, for whom he did foreknow, them he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. And every one of those things is in the past tense. Everything God done for us is in the past tense. And then he went on to say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And you know why nobody can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Because Christ died for us. That's why nobody lay anything to the charge of God's elect. Because Christ died for us and is risen again. And not only is he risen again, but there he is at God's right hand to make sure that we're taken care of all the days of our life. Huh? And that's why you quoted it this morning. When it pleased God. Paul said, when it pleased God, I was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me. And I tell you, the beginning didn't start in Genesis 1. That's when God said, that's the beginning. That was the beginning of time. That was the beginning of creation. But God's always been. And as long as God's been, election's been. Now, ain't that right? Ain't that something? And not only is election true and eternal, but it's personal. He says, God chosen you. Chosen you. Oh, my. I could write in there, if you wrote in there Donnie Bell, I know there's another Donnie Bell down there where I live. One time we was at the same place one time, he said, you must be Donnie Bell the preacher. Because somebody said, that's Donnie Bell. And then and I said, well, that's my name. He said, well, you must be the preacher because I'm the other one. Because he already knew, heard of me and I'd heard of him. But all this, an election is personal. And that's why he said he chose you. You, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you've done, whatever sin you committed, whatever place you was born, raised, and who your parents was, that don't enter into the equation. God has chosen you. Huh? You. I'm a you. I can say I'm one of them yous that God saved. Chose. And I tell you, he wrote our names. This is the truth now. God's got a Lamb's Book of Life. And it's called the Book of Life and the Book of Exodus. And I tell you what, back in the beginning of time, God in His sovereign mercy wrote my name in the Book of Life. He didn't write a number down there. He's going to be number 50,000 million that I'm going to say. He wrote my name down there. And then when I was born, you know what they said? His name is going to be Donald Lee Bell Jr. You know why? Because that's the name God gave me on His book. And listen, I'm going to tell you something else. He's going to write us a new name when we get to glory. He's going to give us a new one. But oh, he didn't write down numbers. He wrote down names. There is a chosen people, and he chose them individually, personally. And when it's time for them to make their election sure, you know what he does? He goes and gets them. Makes them understand and see their election. There is a chosen people. He told Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's belly, I knew you. I knew you. I didn't know some things about you. I knew you. And then you know what I did because I knew you? I ordained you. I want you to be a prophet. And then let me tell you something else about election. Back over here in our text again. It's chosen you to salvation. Election is unto salvation. You know, chosen you to salvation. And this is a wonderful thing to me. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, He redeemed us by His precious blood. And he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But God chose us to salvation. Everyone whom God chose is going to be saved. God's elect are going to be saved. And listen to me now. I'm going to say some things here. Our belief in election didn't save us. Our belief in redemption didn't save us. When God said, when I see the blood, not when I see your faith in the blood, not when I see your fear, not when I see your anxiety, but when I see the blood, God saw the blood. And our belief in redemption didn't save us. We were saved by the grace of God because Christ stood as the Lamb slain as our Redeemer to pay our sin debt. And we were chosen in Christ. And because of this redemption and chosen, this was why we were saved. And what a blessing it is. That's, you know, you was talking about that rich young ruler. I mean, he'd have been, boy, I tell you, a soul winner got a hold of him so quick. I mean, they would have had him booked up. Oh, they'd have, but listen, this is what's so wonderful about the gospel. We can preach and leave it in God's hands, and He will get His people. Don't have to talk anybody into anything. I've preached to people that I felt like they was God's elect and made manifest God's elect, and it might be 5 or 6 years before they'll ever stand up and say, you know, I believe the Lord's done something for me. Huh? But they're going to tell it sooner or later. And then of two infallible marks of election is this. Was this. Is that through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, two infallible marks. Sanctification of the Spirit. And our Lord said in Romans 8:9, He said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Now, the sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification, if I understand sanctification right, and Bruce can tell me if I'm wrong, and I wish he would. Sanctification is when God takes a person and sets them apart. He said, this is mine. You know, all the things that were in the tabernacle, that they was used in the tabernacle, God, the only thing that made it holy, and the only thing that made it acceptable, and the only thing that made it able to be used, was God says, this is mine. I will set apart for this. And that's what He does. He sets us apart. Takes the Holy Spirit and says, "These sets us apart. You're mine." And you know how He sets us apart? Belief of the truth. Oh, I tell you. And look what it says here down in, I think it's verse 10 here. Look at this. And talking about people being deceived. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. But God sets us apart with the word of truth. How do we know, how do we end up finding out we're one of God's elect? He sets us apart. And he does that with the truth, with the gospel, with the things that you hear. A preacher gets up and starts preaching, and he, like Bruce does, and week after week and year after year, and all of a sudden God starts, well, listen, I never heard that. Well, that beats anything I ever heard. Oh, I love that. I didn't know that's in the Bible, and He showed it to me in the Bible. The next thing you know, you say, well, I believe that. You know what happened while you believe that? God sets you apart with that word. Just keep setting you apart. Huh? Ain't that right? Oh, sin says, I will. Sanctification, belief through the truth says, God will. God will. Not my will, but God's be done. Here's the second great theme. Election's the first one. Chosen you. Chosen you. The second one is this. Verse 14. This is what we're talking about, belief of the truth. Whereunto He called you. You was elect. You was chosen from the beginning. Unto salvation, whereunto He called you, by our gospel. Oh, my sheep, hear my voice. I know them, and they hear my voice. Election, I'm going to tell you something. Election isn't salvation. Christ is salvation. But here, God, nobody is saved unwillingly. They've done will. Scott used to say, make a statement like this. He said, God saved me against my will with my full consent. No one is forced into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of God. You know, when God told Noah to build the ark and prepare the ark, God told Noah, he said, come thou into the ark. He didn't, you know, he didn't say go into the ark. So that meant that God, Christ, was in the ark. You come in here where I am. You come in here where salvation's at. You come in here where the wrath of God can't get you. You come in here where the wrath of God won't get you, but it'll get the ark. You come in here and be saved. And that's what he talked about. But Noah, come in. And in the day of God's power, his people are made willing. Now, I'll tell you what, anybody here that ever come to Christ that didn't come willingly? And I tell you, you know what? There are sometimes that we so willing to come, we come over and over and over and over, and not only come over and over, but we just keep on coming. We never stop coming. That first day he made me willing, I've been willing ever since. More than willing. I'm willing not only for what he does in this world, but I am really willing for what he's going to do for me in the next world. Oh, he calls his people to himself. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Our Lord has no unbelieving people. And a danger for us, and I've seen people do it, and this, you should never do it. If you got unbelieving people in your family, and though you believe in election, and though you believe in Christ's redemption, and though you believe in the free and sovereign grace of God, never, never give comfort to loved ones that's not ever heard the gospel. If you want them to, God ever do anything for them, you say, come, hear the gospel. Don't give them any hope at all without them hearing the gospel. Huh? They say, well, they go over yonder over there, and they had an experience when they was 14 years old, they went over there, and now they come over here, and they've just learned a little something about grace. Listen, don't comfort people without them hearing the gospel. Don't do it. Don't do it. If they're elect, they'll say, well, if they're one of God's elect, they'll be in heaven. No, they won't without hearing the gospel. Will they, Bruce? They will not. Listen, ain't nobody going, except babies. Now, I will say this, babies, infants, little children. People, idiots, infirm, people just, you know, that. Now, you know, and they will. I'm not saying it like that, but I'm telling you, don't give anybody, they didn't believe like we did, but I believe he's in heaven. Don't comfort people that's never heard the gospel. Don't do it. Don't do it. Well, if you're one of God's elect, I'll see him in heaven. If without hearing the gospel, you will not. I don't have no qualms about that. My father-in-law, you know, he was 75 when God saved him. And he had been under the sound of the gospel I don't know how many years. And he heard Henry Scott, he heard every preacher that ever come through our place. And then one morning I was preaching on the hour's coming and now is when the dead, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Stepping out of the pulpit, he's sitting on the second row, and I was about right there, you know, ready to step down. He said, Donnie, wait a minute. He said, I heard today. I heard that voice today. I heard that voice today. I My sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life. But they hear. They hear. And that's what he says. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. Now he called you by our gospel. He calls people. He calls them. You know that 3,000 that were saved on the day of Pentecost, I'm going to tell you something. Every single one of those people heard the gospel for themselves. They didn't hear it as a great big congregation. Every one of them people, there might have been 7,000 or 8,000 people there. It said only 3,000 heard the gospel. Only 3,000 were saved. How were those 3,000? Every single one of them had to hear the gospel for themselves. All right, I'm going to show you something. Then he called you by our gospel. The gospel comes in power. He sends his word in power. Look back over here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You know, he called you by our gospel. By the gospel. God sends the word and he sends it in power. He sends it in the Holy Ghost. You know, and the word has such power that the scripture says that it's got the power in it to give you life. Being born again. Not by corruptible seed, but incorruptible. By the word of God, by the gospel, will we preach unto you. Now look what he said here in verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 1:4. Now look what he says. Knowing brethren, beloved, your election of God. Oh, he knew they were elect, God's elect people. And then look what he said. For our gospel came. It came to you. It didn't come to you in word only, which it comes in word. I'm preaching words. Words what we use to communicate with one another. Vehicles of thought. You don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know what you're thinking unless you put your thoughts into words. And so here he says, our gospel came to you in word, not in word only. But it also came with power. What kind of power? The Holy Ghost came in power. The Holy Ghost came with might. And oh, listen. And you know what he did when he brought that word to you in power and by the Holy Ghost? He gave you much assurance. Much assurance that what you were hearing was the gospel, was the truth. And you knew it because you knew that we were just men. And we was there preaching the gospel to you. And God sends the word in power. And I tell you, let me show you another one here. God called you. That's the first theme is election. Chosen. God had chosen you. Then he called you. He called you. For you see your calling, brethren. God didn't call many mighty. I quit school and I was in the 9th grade. 14 years old, somebody. I just got mad at school one day, and the fellow said the wrong, superintendent said the wrong thing to me, and I said, oh, fellow, listen, I don't need this. I was a rebel. Oh, what a rebel. But God had mercy on me. God had mercy. I'm not glowing in ignorance or anything. Please don't, I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you, God passes by the wise. And the prudent, people who think they know everything, got all the answers, know how to be successful. And he passed everybody by and said, I'm going to see that baby over there. That's just a baby. I'm going to save that baby. And you know what? He'd go stay a child all the days of his life. He's going to depend on me. You know, you all got these babies. All y'all raise babies. When you started raising your baby, when it was born, what could it do for itself? All a baby can do is mess. Spit up, goes from both ends. And you can't do nothing in the world for it but clean it up. Clean it up. And it don't bother you. You love it. You want it clean. You want it taken care of. And that's all you and I can do is make a mess. And God, in His sovereign mercy, keeps cleaning us up over and over and over again. Ain't that right? All right. Now look here at verse 16. Here's the third great theme. Verse 16. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Oh, I love that. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Not somebody else. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And listen to this. And God, even our Father. Look what He says. Hath loved us. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father. He's loved us. Huh? Ain't that what He said in the beginning? Brethren, beloved of the Lord. Hath loved us. Everything about God's in the past tense. What He's done for us. And God doesn't love like people love. No, no. He doesn't love like people love. They say there ain't no God. Mother's love is the closest thing to God's love. Ain't even in the same. Oh my goodness. Ain't even worth mentioning the same breath. No, no, no. No, no, no. Ain't no human being come close. There's nothing comparable to God's love. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. I want to look at two places. I want you to look at them with me. First, I want you to look in John chapter 13. I want you to look with me in John chapter 13. You know, we sang that song, "How can it be, how can it be, that Thou, my God, should die for me? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?" Oh. And look what it said. Verse 1, John 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, time's on Him now, that He should depart out of this world, got to leave this world right here. But where's He going? Unto the Father. And listen to this. Having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them right to the end. Romans 9, and then I'm going to move on. Romans 9. You know this, God said, "I've loved you with an everlasting love, and with cords of loving kindness have I drawn thee." Oh, I passed by and saw you polluted in your blood. Your navel hadn't been cut. You was cast out in the field. And I cast my skirt of love over you. Cast my skirt of love over you. But look what he said here in verse 11, Romans 9:11. We could quote these verses, and I know you've seen them. And for the children, she had two children in her womb, struggled in her womb. Just it's like the same the struggles in us. The children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, had done nothing. This, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder, Esau, shall serve the younger, Jacob. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Oh, that's not right. That's not fair. Well, I can understand. Mr. Spurgeon said, I can understand God hating Esau. But I don't understand how God could love Jacob. That's the mystery. How God could love anybody. Especially us. Ooh. Huh? Oh, my. That's not fair. One thing I don't want God to do for me is be fair. So, okay. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God our Father, hath loved us. And then look down and go on here in verse 16, and it goes on to say, here's the fourth great thing, which hath loved us, and listen to this, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. have given us everlasting through this gospel. This is what God's elect. He starts out, God's elect said, this is what God, they called you. Called you by our gospel. God loved you. God called you. And then He gave you everlasting consolation and a good hope. Oh, through grace. You know, it says over there in Luke 2:25 that they were waiting for the consolation of Israel. And you know who that consolation was? It was the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And this word consolation means comfort, console. And oh, let me ask you, what comfort and consoles you and comfort and consoles me? I'm going to tell you something that really consoles and comforts me. All my sins have been forgiven. That's pretty comforting, ain't it? That's comforting. Oh, in fact, our Lord Jesus Christ, He put away our sins once in the end of the world by Himself. And God said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, that comforts me. My sins are gone. They're forgone. God's forgiven me. He forgave me of my past, my present, and my future sins. I'll tell you something else that's consoling and comforting. Is that we're justified. Justified. That God Himself declares us righteous and accepts us and justifies us. And that means, beloved, that God looks at us and it finds no fault in us whatsoever. And how in the world do you know you're justified? Well, my justification sits at the right hand of God right now. You want to know how I'm justified from all sin? Sitting at God's right hand, the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you something else that's very comforting and consoling. We're accepted. We are accepted of God. Accepted in the Beloved. God accepts us. And oh, I tell you, this is real comforting, real consoling. That God made us righteous. God, we have the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ right now. This is such a blessing, such a comforting, that when we get into glory itself and stand in the presence of God and spend eternity with God, we'll be no more righteous there than we are at this moment. Is that not right? We'll be no justified there than we are right here. Oh, my. And then I'll tell you something else. We are complete. We are complete in Him. When you're complete, that means you can't add nothing to it. Complete. Perfect. That word complete means perfect. And then look what He says about this, giving us an everlasting consolation. Oh, my. He says it's everlasting. It's everlasting. It'll never change. Everything that I talk to you about never changes. You know, my feelings change. I go up, I go down, I go right, left. I get all over. I'm all over the map, as they say. One day you may see me and I may be jumping benches. The next day you see me, I may be under one of them. You know. Oh, my goodness. You know, sometimes you say, boy, I'm up on the rock, and the next day you know, boy, I wish I could find me a hole and crawl in it. That's how we are. And we may be that way. But God said, my consolation, my comfort, never, never change. My position before God never, never changes. My state changes, but my standing never changes. You know why it never changes? Because He never changes. You know why you sons of Jacob are not consumed? Because I change not. And then look what He said here. And this everlasting consolation. And then in a good hope. Oh, what a good hope we have. Blessed hope. Glorious hope. And how did we get that good hope? How did God do all this for us? From election down to this place here. He said it was through grace. Through grace. In grace, by grace, through grace, everything God has done for us was the grace that He gave us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Everything spiritual that we possess, everything we know, everything we have, was by grace, 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 grace. The foundation is grace. And the Scripture said over in Zechariah, bring forth the top stone and put it. And they shouted, grace, grace unto it. Grace, grace unto it. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I'm seeing. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Grace, my fears relieved. Grace has brought me safe thus far. Thus grace has been, grace my fears relieved. And I tell you what, grace, the first step I took as a believer was by the grace of God, and the last one I'll take will be by the grace of God. Huh? And that's why He said it's given, hath given us. Because it's of grace. Our hope is good. You know why? Because it comes from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty good things, ain't it? Four pretty good things. Well, thank you for listening to me. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the good meal. Gail, Clarence, thank you so much for taking care of us. We love you all and hope to see you soon.
On page 48, let's sing this and just dismiss it.